Hi, you're listening to the TL Podcast. My name is Thomas Le Huyen, and I am interviewing someone who seems ordinary, but who is achieving extraordinary things. That is the quest of this interview.
We've known each other for a very long time.
Yep.
And I can say that I've seen, and I'd say more so in recent years, that a big evolution with yourself. And I think with, as you said about the podcast previously, with handling your NGE and starting to interview external real estate agents and so forth. Previously, and I think a lot of people still feel this, you're very, very guarded emotionally.
Yes.
When I say emotionally, I mean, we've seen you having lots of fun and passionate and excited and all that sort of stuff. And we've seen all that sort of stuff. I mean, the other side of emotional. So things have happened within the franchise that would have affected you substantially.
Yeah.
But you've got an ability not to show it. How do you do that?
Maybe it's the Asian streak in me. I think that it's mainly because I think that people are not that interested. You have problems. You need to learn to carry your cross. You don't have... Everyone's got their problems. And you do not have to put it up on others. You have to learn to deal with your own things. I think that maybe that's about it too. And I also believe that if you rehash those things, then maybe it's going to take you a long, long time before you can get to your vision. So what is more important, going through the hurts or chasing the vision? And yeah. I think the more that you can really invest the best of yourself or most of yourself into really but the vision, then maybe you get a chance of getting close to it.
But sometimes we need a sounding board too.
Yeah.
And we've had conversations like that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we need a sounding board. And you're the first one to say to people, don't call me when things are going good. Call me when things are going bad.
Yeah.
Don't you think your mates want the same thing?
Yes, but then you also have to choose the right sounding board.
That's true.
Right, so if I was to speak about the loss of my father, I'd want to talk to someone who has lost a father.
Yes.
Because it's no point talking to someone who hasn't, because they wouldn't know.
Yes.
Right? If you were to talk to someone about love, wouldn't you want to talk to someone who has loved or experienced love?
Yep.
Or would you like to talk to someone who's never seen love before? Because how do you explain love if you haven't experienced it yourself? So that's some of the premise that I use when I talk to someone. Otherwise, what I also try and do is to sit down and go through it. When I have certain questions, then I ask the people who have mastered some of those topics to give me a different perspective.
Okay. We had a conversation a couple of years back, 18 months, I can't remember the time frame. And it was on a topic where you had felt that you were gullible.
Yes.
You remember this conversation? You said to me, I can't believe this has happened. This is not what they told me. I feel like I'm gullible and I'm believing
right.
people's lies.
Yes.
And I said to you, do you remember having this
yes,
conversation?
Yes, don't change.
Do you remember what I said to you though? I said, don't change because you see the good in people. And it's not a weakness. And it's lessons that you've taught me about my own family. Change the way you're looking at something. I don't think it was gullibility. I think it was, as I said to you, you're always looking for the good in people.
Yes.
When they don't show that they're good, how do you approach that now?
I try to be more forgiving.
Okay.
But I had to go through what I had to go through, which is, I don't want to bar from them. That's for sure. That still hasn't changed. I believe that once you have identified that someone's done something really silly, something pretty bad, and they've concocted it, it's no point hanging around them. That would be holding on to a trigger for the rest of your life.
Right.
That's going to remind you of what has been done. But I also don't hold grudges or feel bad about what happened, because it takes two to tango. What has happened because you too have made some moves. And what has happened is here to be a teacher, to teach you now how to make sure that the rest of your life you avoid these things. So in that respect, they are teachers. And when you, it's about the meaning you give to things. If I give the meaning to someone that, you know, well, he's a rat, he's a bad person, he's done that, well, then that's the meaning that's going to follow the rest of my life. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to be wary of rats. I'm going to look at it as a lesson. And that, yes, when you are not gullible, but open arm, when you have a spirit that is about embracing your friends no matter what. And when I adopt someone as a friend, whether they lie to me or not, I want to embrace whatever they said. That makes me gullible? Yes. Okay, no problem. That makes me gullible. But shame is on them for doing it, right? The problem is to take that now and question yourself. You can't. You must live on, continue your life. Now, maybe you've learned a few lessons as to why certain people do certain things, and then when you encounter that situation again, maybe do it differently.
How do you move past the I'm going to use the word resentment towards that person for the doing wrong by you. How do you handle? How should someone handle that? Moving beyond that, with that, holding on to that resentment.
I think it's difficult. As a human being, you can't. You still are going to be angry. You're going to go through those emotions, but it's how fast you're going to go through those emotions.
Yep.
For example, I had two people who really hurt my feelings pretty bad lately. One is Chad and the other one is Darren. Chad, I understand one part where he feels, you know, a lot of things being done against him. And probably Darren's about the same thing too. So if I was in their shoes, I'd go, yeah, I understand that. Now, the two of them have done the same thing that was pretty bad, I found. And man, yes, I was angry. Yes, I could go on. But then there was a stage when I went, what is there to be angry at now? Because now I can either take the lesson out of that and learn to now maybe explain things a little bit before the poison's killed the person or it's killed the relationship.
So are you saying before the person dies from the poison, to give them the antidote before it affects them? Or do you say to get ahead of the issue before it starts?
Yes, I think you need to clarify. So I learned from that you may need to clarify it first. Okay. So you learn from the lesson. It's always, do you know, people go, you can't spit poison at someone and don't think that poison is going to kill you too. You know? And I think that it was Wayne Dyer who said, it's not the snake bites that kills, but the poison that you let run through your veins long after the bite that's going to kill you. And you need to really be able to make peace with this. And this is why all the teaching or the learning that I've done have really come to fruition. Because to conquer through all these things, I could have really become a very bitter person.
Yes.
I could have really gone, hold on, that's going to teach me for opening myself up to people. This is what... But instead, it has really turned me into a person who now enjoys the relationship I have with better, but also not to let the relationship dictate who I am, but that who I am is whether it is with those relationship or not. Right, so friends are here to enjoy each other. But friends are not part of each other's identity.
Yes. In saying that, I've seen since that's happened, and I could be wrong, that I believe your circle of friends have become closer but smaller.
Yes.
Am I right in saying that?
Yes, that's correct.
And so you said previously when you want someone to be your friend and you bring them in, and if you get hurt in the process, you've got to deal with it then. Do you feel now you're a little bit more selective with those who you hold closer after? Because both of these people were close to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Very, very close.
And one was a confidant.
Yeah.
Who you would bounce ideas off.
Yeah.
And he was a very good businessman. Oh, Darren is a very good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew how much both of them had hurt you in that process. But I do see that your friend group now is a tighter, closer friend group.
Yes, I think it's not about whether it's closer or smaller. I don't believe in it. I think I'm having friends for having friends. I'm not having friends because I need friends.
Okay.
And that's a very different thing. Yes. So I can be close to people, but it's no longer part of my identity. And I think that has helped me a lot.
Do you think these issues with Chad and Darren were I'd more say with Darren, because I know you, Darren, I feel a lot better than I did Chad.
Yeah.
But was there a change in values, or did some of his negative values come to light more than others? Or
no, I think that values for most people don't change. You either have it and you keep it repressed because there is something that you're getting that is better for the moment. I think that Dan has a very good set of values, no problem. And the unfortunate thing, I believe, is that he's come to believing certain people.
Okay.
And that, over time, just affects you.
Okay.
That's normal.
Yep.
And I'm not running a cult, mate. I'm not here to just force people to adopt certain views and reject certain views. It's up to you. You're an independent person. And I believe that people can always make mistakes, but if you have known someone for 15 years, if you can count on the number of times that they failed you and it's not more than one finger, then maybe you should really have a look at yourself in the mirror. So I don't want to say who's right or who's wrong, but everyone's entitled to their own decisions.
It's a fair call.
You know, I think that this is, it makes you a much better leader. I was having a conversation with a salesperson not longer than yesterday. And I could tell that we started to open some doors where we were sharing ideas. It was right after the sales meeting. And suddenly he says to me, "Can I just have a chat with you?" And he told me that he felt pretty bad about one decision that I had made. That from the decision, he thought I was greedy. And I said to him, "Tell me once I've been greedy around you." He said, "No, you haven't. But that rule that you have introduced, that's what's in my head. I'm thinking that it's opening the door to you being greedy at some stage in the future." And even when I challenged him to just show me that one example, he couldn't. However, I could feel the pain. When he was talking to me, I could see tears in his eyes. And he said, "Man, I'm really sorry, but I don't want you to fire me because of this, because I'm being open." And I was thinking afterwards, as I was driving to another appointment, what is it I do to people for them to feel that I'm about to fire them because they're saying something that is real for them? Am I that unapproachable? You know? And his point was very valid. When I sat down and I listened to what he brought up, and I thought, no, that's not the intention of that rule. The intention of that rule was totally different to what he's thinking. And so he is a young guy who had the audacity or the courage
yeah.
to bring something that's bothering him to the table. And I think that the experience that I've had over the last 18 months have made me a much better person, so that I can sit down and go, okay, what is bothering him? And is the rule that was set made to bother him, number one? And is the rule that I said was correct? And I had to eat some humble pie. I sent him a message afterwards and I said, mate, thank you. I will make some amendments to that rule because I think that was not the intention of the rule. And so from whatever I have gone through, I have now learned the opportunity to really sit down with people, not only to really listen carefully about what they said, but also now to ask myself, what is it that I do to send a message that I'm not approachable?
Yeah. I think it's as leaders, it's our responsibility to say to our team, any issues, you need to be able to speak to me.
Yes.
Any issues, you need to be able to speak to me.
Yes, but that's not true for them.
Oh, okay, yes. But we want that, right?
Yes.
That's what we want. I had an issue come up similar in the office, and yep. I made a decision. And I had one of my team members look at me and said, oh, okay, if that's... And a few days later, he goes, can I have a chat with you? I've gone, see, absolutely. He goes, oh, I think that decision you made is not right. And he said his point. I've gone, you know what? I don't disagree with you. He said, give me some time to think about it, and I'll come back to you. And I did, and I came back to him, and I changed my mind on the decision that I had made.
Yes.
And for him, that was huge. For me, it was a very small decision to make. But for him to be able to know that he can... is able to come to me with anything and not have his job affected, I think it's grounding for these salespeople,
yes.
For these team members.
Yep.
What do we do to put this fear into them? Is it a society thing? Because we can tell them to come to us with anything as many times as we want.
No, I think that we are business owners, so we are their boss. They know that their livelihood is in our hands.
Sure.
We can be out there, and sometimes you have leaders, sometimes you have boss, and sometimes you have bullies, right? We have to avoid the two B words. If we can, we need to stick to leadership. I think that where you and I are very different, you're really naturally a very caring person. I'm a caring person, but I don't know how to show care. That's a different thing too. I've spoken to you many times where I've seen the way that you were chatting about your family or even your dad. You guys can show it. Where me, you have to be stoic. Doesn't matter how much pain you get, you must never show your pain. And so what you do is a natural thing. What I do, man, is a learned thing. It's a very different caring again.
Mate, I can't hold my emotions in, man. That's me. It's always been the case. I think it's important. I think it's important for our children to be able to see it's all right to be emotional.
Yeah.
And that emotion can come out in many ways. It can come out in passion. It can come out in fears and in sorrow in so many ways. But I think it's important, and not only for our children, but our team members.
Yeah, and so in that respect, already between the two of us, it's different. But what if now your leader, whose life has been about bullying others or being bullied?
Yeah.
Because back at school you were bullied. And therefore the program you have is to get somewhere in life, you have to bully. And now you're your boss. And you have people working around you. And the moment they disrespect you, which is one of your big values, well, you're going to do whatever it takes to get it back. Now you're going to bully people. Whatever. So there's so many things that people have to learn. And I think that the journey in life is to take the lessons out of whatever challenges we encounter.